from KALW News in San Francisco. This is a special edition of Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
San Bruno.
North Sunnyvale.
Downtown Palo Alto, my beloved.
Redwood City.
Today, we're learning the rules of the road.
There's a lot of people. Some are on bikes, some are on cars, some are on foot. And when it gets into a gridlock situation, people choose to break laws. They feel like they have a level of anonymity.
We'll take a very long walk.
The whole waterfront of San Francisco, and it's 23 miles, which is really long, but struck me as not an impossible length.
And we'll kick back in a youth-run cafe in San Francisco's Bayview.
Since I came here, I slowed down on drinking, I stopped smoking weed, I stopped robbing, I stopped doing like all the negative stuff.
Grab your comfiest walking shoes. We're heading for some unlikely places today in a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. A big part of life in the Bay Area is how we get around. We drive and complain about parking, take Muni and complain about delays. We bike and risk car collisions, and we complain about that. And of course, we walk. Even that's not always safe. At least 10 pedestrians have died in the city so far this year. The vast majority of people are hit by motor vehicles, cars, trucks, and buses. But sometimes those conflicts are between pedestrians and bicyclists.
A felony warrant is out tonight for the bicyclist police say killed a pedestrian. It happened in San Francisco at Castro and Market more than 2 months ago.
Bicyclist Chris Bucari was charged with felony vehicular manslaughter earlier this summer. Here's District Attorney George Gascon.
I'm hoping that there's a clear message here that we as a community need to be more mindful of the way that we use the road. You know, regardless of whether you're a pedestrian, you're a motorist, you're a cyclist, the rules of the roads are there for everyone.
Accidents between bikes and pedestrians are really rare, but the Bucari case has gotten a lot of media attention, tapping into a perception many people have that bike riders are a bit too cavalier. But in last year's pedestrian fatalities, the police found that in 6 cases, the walker was at fault. All of which brings up the question, how do we know the rules of the road? And what does it take to make us follow them? Julie Kane takes us to find out.
I've been driving since I was 16. I've been riding a bike since I was 5. And walking? Well, I've been walking since I was around 10 months old.
Good job! You can do it!
I learned the rules the way most of us do. First, balancing on 2 feet.
Good job!
You did it! You did it!
Then 2 wheels.
Keep pedaling. Look straight ahead. No, keep looking straight ahead. You're almost there. Keep going. Hit your brakes. Hit your brakes. Feet down. Good job. See, you got it.
And then there was driver's ed.
You're eligible to take the behind-the-wheel drive test when you turn 16. The examiner will evaluate how well you drive. Do you check for pedestrians and other cars before pulling out into traffic?
Driving is the only kind of road use that requires official training. In California, you have to read a 94-page handbook, take a written test, and take a road test. You learn small but crucial things, like when do you signal a lane change, and how many feet should you be behind another car on the freeway.
All in all, it was a satisfactory drive, and you passed.
I passed? All right!
There's a reason why you have to do all this before you're allowed behind the wheel.
I mean, if you look at a car, I mean, it's a huge object with wheels underneath it that can accelerate at unbelievable speeds, and it's a deadly weapon.
This is Bob Mayansky. He's a former Olympic cyclist and a bicycle law attorney. He's made a career out of representing bike riders when they get into trouble.
If there's going to be an injury, in almost every instance, except for a few, it's the cyclist themselves that's going to be injured.
Bikes are much less dangerous than cars. That's why you don't need a license to ride one. But that doesn't mean there's no danger. Sometimes bikes can be deadly. Earlier this year, cyclist Chris Bucari hit and killed a 71-year-old pedestrian after allegedly running a red light.
He was essentially racing on the road. And if we had seen a motorist racing on the road, I think we would all agree that that person needs to be brought to justice.
You probably don't know this. I didn't. But bikes have to follow the exact same rules as cars. Mayansky would actually like to see that change. Far more pedestrians are killed by cars than by bikes. But the thing is, Mayansky says, everyone ignores the rules from time to time, and it's not because we don't know what they are. It's more a matter of frustration with congested streets and jammed traffic.
There's a lot of people. Some are on bikes, some are on cars, some are on foot. And when it gets into a gridlock situation, people choose to break laws. They feel like they have a level of anonymity.
Using the roads can be frustrating, but we all have to do it. So some cities are taking steps to account for our rule breaking. Jonathan Baer is a pedestrian and bike safety advocate in Oakland. He met me at the corner of 9th and Webster, right in the heart of Oakland's dense Chinatown.
It's a very busy neighborhood. There's a lot of pedestrians. There are a lot of seniors, a lot of people with limited English proficiency.
This intersection is a perfect example of a place where every kind of road use comes together and of the problems that can arise.
There are freeway entrances surrounding Chinatown, so people are coming out of these freeways. They're entering one-way streets, as we have in Chinatown, and going very fast. And there are, unfortunately, a lot of opportunities for cars and people to get in each other's way.
At this intersection, the city's put in special safety measures to keep people out of each other's way. The intersection where we're standing is called a scramble crossing. That means that when the light turns red, traffic in all four directions comes to a stop. Pedestrians can cross from anywhere, including right through the middle.
But just two blocks up the street, there's not even a pedestrian signal at the intersection.
The scramble works on principles everyone should be able to agree on. Stop at a red light, walk when you see the walk signal. But this goes back to what Bob Mayansky, the bike attorney, was saying. Sometimes people bend the rules, even the most obvious ones. And sometimes they use a completely different set.
You know, and one of the things I've noticed is that there's different cultures to when you cross a street as a pedestrian. You know, in
right.
Berkeley, where I live, I feel like in Berkeley you can sort of stop traffic with your righteousness.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily the case in other places, you know.
Yeah, there is a culture of pedestrianism, different rules in different places. In some places, like Berkeley, it's expected that people can cross the street mid-block and that traffic will wait for them. In places, unfortunately, in some places in East Oakland, it's very difficult to cross the street, even at a marked crosswalk, because the cars don't yield.
These differences make it hard to know which rules to follow. In San Francisco, you've probably seen this, pedestrians wait for the walk light even when there are no cars for miles. In New York City, pedestrians go for it whenever possible.
Pedestrians don't need a license. There's no driving class analog for pedestrians.
Baer says really only one thing is consistent.
Pedestrians, we're not entirely on our own, fortunately. In elementary school, we learn to look both ways before crossing the street. We learn to stay within the crosswalk line so that cars don't creep into our space.
Basically, Baer says, it all comes back to how we live together. Not as drivers, not as bicyclists or pedestrians, but as people.
It's not okay to go faster just because you can. It's not okay to cut people off because they're slow. We all have to respect one another and follow the rules of the road.
That story was produced by KALW's transportation reporter, Julie Kane. And Julie joins us now in studio. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Ben.
Stick around. I want to talk with you.
Okay.
All right. So coming up, we're going to meet pedestrians who've been hit by cars and see what's particularly dangerous about San Francisco streets.
She said, "You'll be okay. We're calling 911. The police are coming. The ambulance is coming."
That's coming right up, but first we would like to invite you to enjoy and support this kind of in-depth reporting by calling 1-800-525-9917 and making a donation to support Cross Currents and KALW. We're almost to the end of our almost fall membership campaign. It's almost, it just means we're almost there, but we need your support to get there at 800-525-9917. And let me say, Julie, you're right here with me right now. We are so humbled by the support and encouragement that we've received already with your donations and your calls. We want to thank Nate Levine from San Francisco, Marty Birchall from Oakland, and Stephanie Rapp from San Francisco. show, they all called or clicked at 800-525-9917 or at kalw.org.
And that's how you can really help us. And this hour, we want to get about $1,500, but we have a matching grant of $400. So if you call in and pledge any amount, $10, really that's like $410.
That's right.
Yeah, so if you call right now, call 1-800-525-9917 or go online and click kalw.org, and you can really help us out. We really appreciate it.
That's right. There's a lot of thank you gifts available that you could see and scroll through at kalw.org. Keep in mind that if you give $100 right now during Cross Currents, but only during Cross Currents, we're going to get $400 more dollars. So $100 gift would be like giving $500, but only right now for this hour. Check out the thank you gifts online at kalw.org. Also, if you become a member during Cross Currents today, you are invited to our December 8th live Cross Currents event. We're going to be performing Cross Currents live in person with musical acts. It's going to be fantastic at the Oakland Museum of California. That's December 8th. Meet Julie, meet me, meet Holly, Martina, Casey, Chris, Seth, our whole team. It's going to be a fantastic event, and you're invited if you become a member right now. What's the number, Julie?
It's 1-800-525-9917, or you can go online, kalw.org.
And that is where you could become a member. We have phones. We have a few volunteers who are on the phone, but we need more because we have a $1,500 challenge, meaning we need to receive $1,500 during this hour at least, or we're not going to get the extra $400. Julie, what does that mean they need to do?
They just need to call 1-800-525-9917 or go online at kalw.org. You can pledge any amount. I know, you know, times are hard. $10, $50, $100, whatever you can give us will really, really help us keep doing this really creative work that we're doing at Cross Currents and on KALW.
That's right. And of course, if you're familiar with KALW, you know that we do not take a lot of time for pledge breaks. And in fact, if you call 800-525-9917, whether you do or not, you know, we're going to go back to the show. But please give a shout at 800-525-9917 and right back to the show right now. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney here with KALW's transportation reporter, Julie Kane. So Julie, at the end of your piece we heard just a few minutes ago, we heard from a pedestrian safety advocate who reminded us that the rules of the road can be quite simple. You just have to look both ways before crossing the street.
It's true. Looking both ways is always a good idea, but as you mentioned, it's not always enough. Crossing the street in San Francisco is actually one of the more dangerous things you can do. Pedestrian car collisions account for almost an eighth of the city's trauma patients. In this next story, we're going to find out why. This is a piece from Casey Miner that she made when she was KALW's transportation reporter.
When John Alex Lowell crosses a San Francisco street, he doesn't just look both ways. He looks left, then right, then left again over his shoulder to make sure no one's coming from behind him making a turn. He's also keeping tabs on the countdown of the walk sign.
Only if it's a double digit, or at least an eight, should you start walking to not have it become one, and you're right there in the middle of the intersection.
Lowell says you might think cars will stop for you, but they won't. San Francisco has more pedestrian collisions per capita than New York City. He was in one.
So we're at the moment a block away from where the collision happened. On Friday, March 23rd, 2001, it was at around 12:15.
Lowell was out jogging on his lunch break. He remembers getting to the intersection of Mission and 14th Street, looking up and seeing the white walk signal.
And this is only what the witnesses told my family, and I'm not sure if my family saw the van, minivan. But then my left side of my head hit the windshield. And then with the momentum, I was flung through the air around 20 feet and then landed on Mission Street. And this is where I landed. My head landed here. And that's where I sustained most of the brain damage.
Lowell talks about his accident like someone who's memorized facts in a history book. He doesn't remember any of it. Other people had to tell him later that the minivan ran a red light and hit him. that after he hit the ground, he rolled under a parked bus on Mission Street. That thankfully, the bus didn't move. And that some other drivers, who saw the collision, called 911 and reached under the bus to hold his hand.
She said, "You'll be okay. We're calling 911. The police are coming. The ambulance is coming."
A lot of people get hit by cars in San Francisco. 800 a year at least. And those are just the ones that get reported.
That's two or three people a day getting hit by cars.
Elizabeth Stamp is executive director of Walk SF, a pedestrian advocacy group.
We have streets that are designed for the rapid movement of cars instead of for people to be able to get around safely on foot.
Stamp works at 6th and Market, one of the worst intersections in the city for collisions. During rush hour on a recent evening, it was easy to see why.
Right now it's rush hour, and we see a lot of cars trying to cross Market and go along 6th Street and probably get to the freeway. And we have a lot of cars not making it across the intersection. Pedestrians are having to weave their way between cars. We have someone in a wheelchair trying to get across. It's going to be hard for her to reach the curb ramp on the other side.
It's not just 6th and Market. SoMa is more dangerous than almost anywhere else in San Francisco. Chinatown and the Tenderloin are bad too, with almost three times as many accidents as the rest of the city. These neighborhoods all have a few things in common. For one, they're some of the city's densest areas, and a lot of that density is due to SROs, single-room occupancy hotels, and senior housing. Those living spaces are small, so people hang out outside. Most people don't have cars, so they walk to get where they need to go.
What we do is we do this thing called the dip and run. You got to try to get past here as fast as you can without getting hit by a car.
Sylvester Gard is a tenant organizer at the Seneca Hotel on 6th Street. He started working on pedestrian safety issues after he got hit by a car a year ago. And the dip and run? That's where you start at one edge of an alley where it intersects the main road and walk into oncoming traffic to get to the other side. Technically, these kinds of intersections are legal crosswalks, but they're not always marked. No signs, no white paint. Gard got hit in one of those alleyways right at the corner of 6th and Stevenson by a woman driving the wrong way. He says he wasn't hurt too badly, but he doesn't have insurance, so he never actually saw a doctor.
My back do go out occasionally still. It's still, matter of fact, my back went out like last week. It goes out like around every 4 months or so. I didn't have no issues with my back before that, but since then I have issues with my back.
Read the paper for just a week and you'll probably see more stories like Gard's. But pedestrian advocates like Elizabeth Stamp say there are easy things the city can do to fix the problem. Things like eliminating one-way streets, painting crosswalks more brightly, and extending sidewalk corners so crossings are shorter. She says a good example is Valencia Street in the Mission, where the city has made a lot of these kinds of changes.
This should be a priority for the city, and we should commit resources to it. Right now, pedestrian funding is a very, very tiny part of what we spend on transportation in this city and in this country, and that needs to change.
In the year after his accident, John Alex Lowell had 30 surgeries and stayed in 6 hospitals. His doctors told him he was lucky. They thought he'd be in a persistent vegetative state. Now, 10 years later, he's more or less okay. He can walk, he went to grad school, he can even drive if he wants to, though his vision's a little off. There's also an artificial substance in his skull, an ironic little reminder.
That is a material called methylmethacrylate. It is what orthopedic surgeons used to replicate bone mass. It's also what dentists use to when they create teeth. It is the same material, and my common phrase is my jaw dropped when I heard it. It is also the same material that I am pointing to on the street, road paint.
The city is working with groups like Walk SF to try and make things safer. In District 6, which includes SoMa, Supervisor Jane Kim has been especially involved. But so far, there's no official plan. So whether you're walking or driving in any of San Francisco's neighborhoods, the best rule of thumb is probably the one your parents taught you. Look both ways. In San Francisco, I'm Casey Miner for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney with KALW's transportation reporter, Julie Kane. And today's show is all about getting around on foot.
Yeah, as we heard, walking can be dangerous, but it can also be meditative and really fun. Our next piece is actually going to take us on a fun walk.
It's the long walk.
And I did kind of think of it as like capital L, capital W, long walk.
All right, that's coming right up. But first, we are asking you to please support KALW. There's only 2 days left in our membership drive right now. That means you only have, this is basically your last chance to become a member of KALW at 800-525-9917. Support great local public radio at kalw.org.
And we only have about $1,000 left that we want to raise in this hour, and we have a matching grant of $400. So anything you pledge, $10, $50, whatever you can afford, we match that with $400. But that's just if we can get that $1,000 by the end of this hour.
Exactly. If we don't get up to the $1,500 challenge, then we're not going to get the extra $400. That means now is the time for you to become a member of KALW at 800-525-9917. I want to thank A. Thomas, who's become a member during this hour from San Francisco. Thank you so much. And you are invited to come to the live Cross Currents event on December 8th at the Oakland Museum of San Francisco. Oakland Museum.
Oakland.
My gosh.
Oakland.
What state are we in here? The state of confusion on KALW as we ask you to become a member at 800-525-9917. Let me try that again. The Oakland Museum of California, where live Cross Currents will be taking place on December 8th. You get a meet and greet with the whole Cross Currents team, including Julie Kane, who's here with me right now. But you have to become a member at kalw.org or 800-525-9917.
We have a couple more people to thank, Jennifer Yu and Andrew Gilbert, and one other person, Janet Stemweddle from Fremont. I just wanted to let you know some of the reasons why she pledged. She loves these no interruption pledge drives that we do. And she also really loves a lot of the programming she hears on KALW, Philosophy Talk, Out in the Bay, and This American Life.
That's right. This American Life is one of the great inspirations for Cross Currents. I can tell you in person because, you know, help make this show. And also Radiolab, Fresh Air, which you hear on KALW, Snap Judgment, which originated here on KALW, 99% Invisible with Roman Mars. These are some of the great creative public radio shows that Cross Currents really models itself after. You only hear Cross Currents on KALW, and we can only be on the air with your support. We are 77% listener supported. The money does not come from corporations, does not really come from the government. Really, it comes from you. More than 3/4 of our budget comes when we just ask you very politely right now to become a member at 800-525-9917.
So please call or click at kalw.org or call us at 800-525-9917.
And like Janet Stemweddle said, we don't really have long interruptions for asking for pledges. And so, you know, I want to get back to the show a little bit here, Julie. And we're taking a lot of walks today. We're about to go on a very long one, but here at KALW, you don't actually have to go on a very long walk to get somewhere completely different. In fact, KALW is in the back of Burton High School. It's in southeastern San Francisco. We've got just a few classrooms on one side of the building, kind of the KALW wing, and the rest of them are a fully functioning high school, not at 5:26 p.m., but, you know, during the regular school day. But during the school day, we sent our intrepid engineer, Seth Samuel, out to meet some of the people who work and go to school here, and here are the first two people who he met.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm Brenda.
What's your last name?
Zhang.
What is your first and last name?
Brenda Zhang.
What, if you were going to say what my name is, how would you complete that sentence? And also say my name is as well.
My name is Brenda Zhang.
My name is Emily Tang.
My name is Seth Samuel.
Hi, Seth.
What are you doing here?
We're kind of lounging around. It's after school.
Are you students?
Yeah, I'm a sophomore.
Where?
At Burton High School.
Sophomores at Burton, yeah.
Where are we now?
We're in the back.
I don't know.
You're my tour guides. You have to know where we are.
This is uncharted area.
Uncharted area. Okay, please show me something interesting now.
If you just follow us, we could go that way.
We're walking. We're walking. We're walking. We're walking. We're walking.
We are going slightly downhill.
We're going downhill slightly.
Sure.
Here comes a truck. Let's get to the side. Probably a student driver, because this is a school.
School is a dangerous place to be.
Agreed.
This is the softball field around here, where, like, it's with the parking lot and stuff.
What's the team?
Well, our mascot is a puma.
A puma.
It's a kind of cat, actually.
A cat called Puma.
Actually, pumas are mountain lions.
Mountain lions are cats.
Yeah, cats, big cats.
Okay, where are we now?
And now we're entering the building.
Through the back.
So these are the stairs.
Those certainly are steps, yes. Nobody knows where they go. There's an elevator. I didn't know there was an elevator here.
It goes up all three floors, I think.
I believe it.
Has anyone ever been in the elevator?
That's a tale that must never be told anywhere else.
Anyway.
Okay, moving past the elevator, we're not even going to attempt it. There's a sign. It says restricted area. There's a picture of a man with an X over it.
But people pass through it all the time and nothing happens.
Let's see what happens.
Occasionally, there's a squeak.
So we nicknamed it the squeaky hallway.
Wait, where's the squeak?
You have to wait for it.
You want to stand here?
I don't know if they repaired something.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
I heard a squeak earlier this
year. I'm not sure if they have it this year.
Wait, what's the squeak sound like?
I am not sure.
We'll rejoin Seth, Brenda, and Emily a little later in the show. But now it's time to embark on our long walk. Take your cell phone with you and don't forget to call 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-KALW-917. Or go online and become a member right there. It's really easy. It's going to take about 2 minutes, and you'll be doing your part for local public radio. Please do it now at www.kalw.org. And now, back to the show. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney here with KALW's transportation reporter, Julie Kane. And now, Julie, we're going to head off on this long walk we've been looking forward to.
Indeed we are. Molly Samuel is a friend and occasional reporter here at KALW. She's also our engineer Seth Samuel's sister.
Hi.
Hey, Seth.
Hi.
All right, so his sister Molly really likes to walk. And this year, for the first time, she set off one Sunday on a very long walk. The goal was to walk the full perimeter of San Francisco, all along the entire waterfront. I met up with her at Heron's Head Park in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood, not too far from here, really, to hear what she heard and retrace some of her steps.
It's the long walk. And I did kind of think of it as like capital L, capital W, long walk. And I think of the incredible number of willing participants that I somehow recruited were the long walkers. Also capital L, capital W. We started a little bit south of here at Candlestick, and we walked around to Fort Funston. And I think that the total in the end was 12 people walked start to finish 23 miles around the city of San Francisco, which is really long, but struck me as not an impossible length. It took us 11 hours. I mean, the nice thing about doing a kind of urban hike is that we got to get snacks at the ferry building. And we had lunch at the Warming Hut in Crissy Field. You know, it's not like we were living off of those disgusting gels and Cliff Bars in the water we could carry. You know, we did fine. We walked inland around the dog patch area and got some really fancy espresso. and we could always use bathrooms. I've lived here long enough that I could probably be blindfolded and get on a bus and get off somewhere and find some hills and Sutro Tower and figure out where I am. And so it was kind of cool to be able to walk around just and sort of see the perspective changing as we went. I mean, you know, we saw the Bay Bridge for a long time and then we were under it and then we walked past it and didn't see it again. And same for the Golden Gate Bridge that we walked, you know, over it, not under it. But so, you know, you see these landmarks come into view. It's kind of like probably when you're driving in the plains and you see a city for a long time and then you get to it, it's like a similar experience, only it's a smaller scale because you're on foot. Oh, so one place that we walked through that I'd never really fully walked across was Fisherman's Wharf, which as a resident of San Francisco, it's just not a place that I ever visit unless I'm with other people who are visiting and they want to visit. I'd never taken the time to just walk Fisherman's Wharf from end to end. That was actually for me a really fun part of the walk because I'd never fully seen Fisherman's Wharf. But there's this guy that hides behind a branch.
They're coming!
think he's called like the Bushman or something. He has like a name. I don't remember what it is. He's like a Fisherman's Wharf folk hero. But he hides behind a branch and then jumps out and scares tourists. It's like a branch that he's broken off of a tree, and he holds it up and jumps out and scares people. And then other people kind of collect and watch him do this and laugh. And then they give him money. It's like a, you know, performance art, asking people for change, installation. Let's go with that. So it was really fun to just be on this incredibly long walk. And this is just, you know, we're this group of people just kind of trudging through Fisherman's Wharf, and that guy totally scared one of the people on the walk. But I think for me it felt like less of a kind of statement of knowing San Francisco in the end, and more a statement of distance. I mean, walking for 11 hours is probably about as far as someone would want to walk. And so then it ended up feeling like sort of a kind of universal human distance, that probably this is as far as humans through the ages and through the millennia would want to walk. I'm not sure why I like walking so much. I like to look at things, and walking is a good speed to do that. I like birds, and I like plants, and I like trees, and I like seeing the bookshelves in people's living rooms when I glance in through the front windows when the curtains are open. And walking is the speed to see that stuff. I feel like I can think when I'm walking. When I'm biking, I'm mostly focused on not being run over. And when I'm driving, I'm just, you know, focused on having road rage. But when I'm walking, I can just focus on whatever I'm thinking about. So it's like the speed that I think at, maybe, and so then it makes sense that it's the speed that I travel at. It's not the kind of flow where you're so engaged in what you're doing that you don't notice anything else. It's like flow in that you're so involved in everything else that you don't notice what you're doing. Like, you can just walk and absorb the world.
That is Dedication. Coming up, we're going to walk into a totally different place in the Bayview, to a youth-run 40s-themed supper club.
It's really exciting. You walk in, you see these dark curtains, and you see this beautiful rich reds, and you see a chaise lounge sofa up on top. And you hear you know, Louis Armstrong singing in the back, and then when you come at dinner, there's actually performers, and they're singing their heart out, and you are instantly transported.
Instantly transported. That's what we love to do, Julie. We love to transport our listeners all around San Francisco, all around the Bay Area, all around that supper club in the Bayview, and we're going to bring you right there. But please become a member of Transporting Radio at 800-525-9917.
You can also go online at kalw.org, and we did have a couple people do that. We wanted to thank Tom Hunter in Kensington, California.
Thank you.
And Pilar Krawchuk in Clearwater, Florida.
Way to go, Pilar.
Thank you.
Shout out to Florida. Yes, all right, 800-525-9917. It's a toll-free number, so it doesn't really matter. You know, it's not going to cost you anything, and all that money is going to go right to KALW if you could donate now. And now is the time, because we have a $1,500 challenge, Julie, and that means that if we reach $1,500 during this hour of Cross Currents, we're going to get an extra $400.
Amazing.
Yeah, if you give $100 right now, it's worth $500 for us, but only if you call right now at 800 800- 525-9917.
Yes, please call now. We really want to make that goal, and we can't do it without you. It's just one call or one click at a time that we're gonna reach that goal.
That's right, kalw.org. And there's only 2 days left in the drive. So if you've been hanging on, if you've been waiting, if you've been wondering, when am I going to go ahead and pledge? Well, hey, now is the time. We're going to get an extra $400. There's only 2 days left. Please, 800-525-9917. But we're going to stick with our promise of a no-interruption pledge drive, and we're going to return to our own walking show, and this time we're going back with Molly Samuel's brother, Seth, one of our engineers here, through the halls of Burton High School. And he has been joined, of course, by his tour guides, Burton sophomores Brenda Zhang and Emily Tang.
Are you allowed to run in the halls here?
Many people do.
But are they allowed to?
No one really stops them.
Yeah.
What's through these doors?
Let's find out. More hallways and a little slope.
There sure are a lot of hallways in this school.
And a little slope leading to the
outside world.
The outside world. And an area that is like outside of the gym where there are, ironically, there are vending machines outside of the PE room where they, I mean, outside of the gym where they where they say you cannot eat.
You're not allowed to eat in the gym, but they're selling food right outside of it?
Yes.
That is ironic. What is this?
We haven't done this yet because we're only sophomores, but it's probably a DNA project.
I think
made
they are
of
a DNA project.
Candy and beads and cardboard.
It's DNA made out of candy and beads and cardboard. I don't think that this is the basis of our life.
You are what you eat.
Hey, that is true. Excellent. Oh, we're back at the elevator. Have we struggled, or is this another elevator?
This is the same elevator, actually.
Yeah, it is.
We walked in a circle.
Well, while they continue their walk, we are still continuing our drive, and we would love to get your call at 800-525-9917. I want to give a big thank you to Seth, Brenda, and Emily. And Julie, we here at KLW, we work with a high school. We work in a high school. And could you tell us a little bit about your experience working with students here at Burton?
Well, the next story we have coming up is actually from a reporter who's a senior here at Burton High. Her name's Lupe Hernandez, and she's been working with us since last spring. And she was actually with us full time this past summer. It was great working with her. She's got great energy. She came out with me and reported. She helped me make a couple of stories. And she just brings such a great, new, fresh perspective to the air. We really, really loved having her here.
That's right. Lupe Hernandez and Buffy Almendares. They are both just a joy to have in the newsroom. I mean, younger people who are in here with us. I mean, we have a pretty young staff overall. But, I mean, having high school students here. But they were so interested in learning. These SFUSD kids here from Burton High School who we really want to work with, who we really enjoy. Enjoy it. And we're going to hear one of those stories coming up in a second, but we're just taking 1 minute to ask you to become a member at 800-525-9917. Support what we do here at KALW. We are doing the best we can to make the Bay Area a better place, to help you understand what's going on here, to really incorporate all the different people who are here. And that's why we're here. We're a public service, but we're also publicly funded directly from you. So go online to kalw.org or call 800-525-9917.
We just can't do it without you, and we really appreciate all your help. It's just one of you at a time that helps us reach this goal. This hour, we're trying to meet our goal of $900, I think we have left.
That's what we got left.
And then we'll get a $400 matching grant.
Yeah.
If you can give us, any amount, $5, $10, $100, even more, that might even help us end the pledge drive sooner.
That's right, because we have 2 days left in the pledge drive as scheduled, but it could be shorter than that. If you have the chance to give a big gift, like $1,000, $5,000 even, we've had some of those during the drive, please consider it because it's worth it. It's worth it. And you know what? We don't really do a lot of pitching on these drives, and that's why we're going to go right back to the show. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Treffney.
And I'm Julie Kane.
If you walk down the hill from our studios down to the 3rd Street Muni line, you'll be in the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood. The streets are urban, often deserted, and they might sound like this.
But walk into Cora Jean's old school cafe, and it sounds a bit more like this.
Old School is a 1940s-themed jazz supper club run by at-risk youth. They cook homemade food, serve it to all comers, and perform their music, dance, and poetry on stage. Working at the cafe, they get professional skills and a support network, all while dressed in their 1940s best. KALW's Lupe Hernandez has been spending some time at the cafe, and she brings us this story.
From where she's standing on the street outside Old School Cafe, Gladys Tates can see a train stop, a bus stop, and people asleep on benches on the street. Other people are drinking, drunk, or hungover. You'd never think another world was just steps away, hidden from the public, even locals.
I come to this bus stop all the time to take the bus home, and all this time, I've been over here for like 6 months, I've never noticed that restaurant.
It's a summer weeknight, and Sudip Mochipelli Rao has just walked into Old School Cafe. From where he sits, he can see a stage to the left and tables facing it to the right.
It's really exciting. You know, you walk in and you see this dark curtains and you see this beautiful rich reds and you see a chaise lounge sofa up on top. And you hear Louis Armstrong singing in the back. And then when you come at dinner, there's actually performers. And they're singing their heart out, and you are instantly transported.
The singers Rao's describing are youth employees at Old School, wearing dress shirts and shoes with black slacks and suspenders. They carry themselves like they're out of another era, even if they're dancing and performing hip-hop. Rao says he comes here to be transported in time as often as he can.
This is a breath of fresh air. And it's also not just a breath of fresh air, it's a lifeboat.
The atmosphere is a big part of what makes Old School what it is. And then there's the food. Walk through the cafe into the bright kitchen, and you'll see young people moving quickly but carefully to complete each dish on time. Helping prepare that food is Chef Kevin Tucker. He's there to help the youth develop and better the skills needed to move beyond working at the cafe.
So we, you know, look at their knife skills, we look at their chopping skills and making sure they can chop, and do they know how to measure, do they know what a pinch is, do you know what a quarter cup is, do you know what a teaspoon is?
Tucker met Old School's founder at an event and was intrigued by the new idea of youth in the kitchen.
When I got an opportunity to meet the young adults, they were all personable, mannerable. They were wonderful kids. Wonderful kids. I was pleasantly surprised.
Part of the reason he was surprised is that the youth at Old School aren't chefs in training, at least not when they come in.
I organize all the files. I do all the interviews, go through all the applications. I set schedules and tell everybody else what to do.
Desiree Maldonado is a youth manager at Old School Cafe. She's been with the program for 4 years, since she was 15. As a manager, she's in charge of the rest of the workers as well. She says all that responsibility is a lot different from the way her life used to be.
Before Old School, I dropped out at the age of 15 and started hanging out in the streets, started drinking a lot more, and just never going home or going home at like 1 in the morning, just, being really disrespectful. I used to break into people's houses and rob my friends and rob people, just break in their house and steal from them, and just go do just some bad things. But once I joined Old School, I stopped all of it.
Maldonado says meeting Old School founder Teresa Goines made her feel like it was safe to explore a new life.
I don't know, Teresa felt like a guardian angel. I felt like I didn't need to go continue that life. And my friends that I was hanging around with, I stopped talking to all of them. And some of them changed with me. They joined Old School. And because I was just kind of like, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. You guys can't make me do anything I don't want to do, and I want to become somebody positive.
So I was like, okay, so jobs and a family, sense of community.
This is Teresa Goines. She got the idea for Old School after working in various jobs for law enforcement, including at a ranch for young men convicted of crimes. She wanted to find a way of getting the youth she worked with to stay out of trouble once they were released.
So that was sort of where I started thinking, all right, so nobody's going to hire them, then I need to create something that's going to hire them specifically, that could be sustainable, that can help them make more than minimum wage.
Walking into Old School may transport you to another era, but it's not always so easy for the youth to leave their old ways behind. Goin says things don't always go smoothly.
So it's still running the full restaurant with all of the challenges of teaching how do you not take out what you're upset about on your coworkers and blow up. And you're in service now. You're in customer service. So you have to check that stuff at the door and come in and be professional and, you know, how to deal with it in a positive, healthy way.
Goines doesn't try to punish the youth when they make mistakes, but she says she also enforces consequences.
If they're not ready to work on their stuff, you know, we surround them with support, and I let them know it's, even if you fail and make a mistake, even if I have to fire you, like, you know, my heart's always open, you're always welcome to come, anytime you need to talk, I'm here, you know, so the love doesn't stop, but you can't have a paying job if you choose to not be responsible and make those hard choices.
So ever since I came here, I stopped doing everything.
Leonard Ferguson is 21 and a server at Old School. He says he used to be deeply involved with drugs and alcohol, with a troubled life at home. He heard about what Old School was doing at a turning point in his life.
I slowed down on drinking, I stopped smoking weed, I stopped robbing, I stopped doing like all the negative stuff and started doing more stuff that's positive. I've been to college like a couple of years, but then I stopped going because I thought it wasn't for me, but now that I realize I want to get somewhere in life and just travel to different places. And now I'm about to go back to school, probably this year, next year.
Ferguson says it's easy for him to be positive at the cafe. And it seems that way for all the youth. They make their way around tables, smiling, greeting customers, and cooking in the kitchen. And of course, performing. Whether they're on stage or in the kitchen, the youth at Old School are building new lives for themselves. The hope is they keep living them after the music stops. For Cross Currents, I'm Lupe Hernandez.
Lupe Hernandez is a senior at Burton High School, where KALW studios are located. She was an intern here over the summer, and sometimes she still drops by during passing period. Coming up, we take a final visit into the school hallways, and we'll meet a woman who spent years talking to almost everyone in this high school, every single day.
You need 3 items. You only have 2. So you got to go back. I can't tell you what to get, but you got to go back and get you a salad or milk. It's your choice. Yes, you have to. Oh, sweetie, you can get ketchup. It's a condiment. And it is a vegetable, if you don't know that.
Oh, yeah, we all know that ketchup's a vegetable, right, Julie?
Oh, yeah, it's really, really good for you.
So is becoming a member of KALW at 800-525-9917. Less than 10 minutes left. 10 minutes left in our challenge to get to $1,500, Julie, so we get an extra $400, but less than 10 minutes left.
We can't do it without you. If you just call right now, you can really help us meet that goal in the next 10 minutes. 800-525-9917.
Or online at kalw.org. But you know what, Julie? We're kind of hamstrung here because we are not breaking into programming, really, on KALW. That's how we do the membership drive. We just don't break into it. So just telling you one more time to please call 800-525-9917 or go online to kalw.org. Help us get the extra $400. We need you to call in the next 8 minutes. But first, we're going to hear again from our engineer, Seth Samuel, who's been taking us behind the scenes here at Burton High School. Here's a teacher.
My name is Joe Rubin, and I teach physics and health at the high school, freshman health and seniors physics.
Which is harder?
Probably about the same.
Which is harder physically?
Physically, it's probably harder to teach physics, yes.
Good answer. Did you know that there was a radio station in the building?
Yes, I knew there was a radio station here, run by the district, San Francisco Unified School District.
I don't think I knew that, and I work at the radio station.
That's bad.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Do you ever listen to the radio?
I listen to the radio every day.
Do you listen to KALW?
I have turned it on every once in a while, yes.
Good choice.
Thank you.
What's the best part of working at Burton High School?
Well, the students. I mean, it's a great place. And what I like about the school is that they have ways for students to lead here. They allow the students to take charge of a lot of the different things about how the school is run.
What are you looking forward to in this upcoming school year?
Well, we do rocketry, and I'm looking forward to that. I love
rocketry?
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of stuff flying out in the yard there.
Sounds very dangerous.
Yeah, it's not. It's just fun.
We'll see about that.
Thank you, Seth and Mr. Rubin here at Burton High School. And Julie, our transportation reporter, rockets, they're a form of transportation, right?
Yeah, they count for sure.
All right, well, we're going to get ready to head to the cafeteria to meet Burton's lunch lady. But we can't go, we can't even stop to eat without first asking you to call 1-800-525-9917 and help us get this extra $400. Your $100 right now will be worth $500 if you call in the next 6 minutes. But Julie, we're going right back to the show. You need to go online to kalw.org or call 800-525-9917 to get us that extra $400 right now. But here's another story. You're listening to a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, here with transportation reporter Julie Kane. Today we've been walking around through Oakland, San Francisco, and the high school hallways just beyond the studio. So I'm pretty sure we've earned a meal, don't you think, Julie?
Absolutely. And if you listen, you know that we actually read you a menu on air here every day, the school lunch menu.
Middle and high schoolers will be having baked chicken nuggets, whole grain, and creamy macaroni and cheese.
The person who served this food up at Burton High School for many years was Gowanna Keyes. In fact, she worked for the district for almost four decades.
KALW's Audrey Dilling met Keyes in her lunch line in this piece from our archives.
You need three items. You only have two. So you got to go back. I can't tell you what to get, but you got to go back and get you a salad or milk. It's your choice.
My name is Gowanna Keyes. And I've been working for the district for about 35 years.
You can get ketchup. It's a condiment. And it is a vegetable, if you don't know that.
I worked my way up from a lunchroom helper to a manager. But I work on the line, you know, when the kids come through with their number. We have a slide card now that they have their number.
Thank you, sweetie.
Not only I'm helping them try to eat right, I become friends with a lot of them. And some of the kids call me auntie or they call me mama. And pretty good kids.
All right, sweetie. Thanks.
I have always loved to cook because of my father.
Okay.
My father got me into cooking because he said I would never make it as a cook. And after so many years of doing other jobs, this lady was a member of our church, and I was home for a whole year. I became a housewife, and she told me about the school district, and I just applied, and the same day I got hired. We used to do spaghetti, chili, turkey with gravy, mashed potatoes, lasagna, chicken adobo, chili mac. We did our cookies from scratch. We did cake from scratch. We used to make our own mayonnaise, and that has changed over the years. We don't cook anymore. Everything is prepared food. It comes in already pre-packed and everything, so all we have to do is, you know, heat it up now. And it's, they said it's supposed to be more nutrition for the kids. It's not, it has a lot of fat in it, you know, preservative and stuff like that. So it's a big difference. We don't serve as many kids as we used to for breakfast or for lunch because they will look on, you know, and see what it is and go, oh, I don't want this. Oh, why are you guys not cooking anymore? you know, and they become like, oh, mama, I remember when you used to fix, you know, the butter cookies, or you used to bake the spaghetti or something, like, why don't you do that anymore? And I'm going, budget. So it's a great change. I don't like to turn a kid away, you know. I wouldn't want anyone to do my child like that. If my child is hungry, I hope someone, if he goes into the cafeteria and he's hungry and he doesn't have money or not enough money, that somebody would be, you know, compassion, you know, to him. And I look at, you know, the kids here like they're my own. Not found, sweetie. A teacher came to me because I had kids working in the kitchen helping out during lunchtime because they couldn't afford the lunch. And if they worked with me and helped, I would give them, you know, free lunch or free breakfast. And teacher came to me during lunch period and said, you got so-and-so in your kitchen? They are the worst kids in the school. How do you do it? And I said, I show them love and respect. And I said, if you act like them, they're not going to respect you. I said, you have to draw kids. And I said, the only way that you have to, you know, draw kids is that you first you got to show love and concern, compassion. And then you win them over. You know, their trust. And that's what they're looking for. Here, write your name down. Okay. Your last name and your first name, and I can look it up for you. Okay. It could get pretty hard sometimes, but if you have a determination and a drive to succeed no matter what in life, if it's not the food service, anything that you want to do, don't let nobody destroy your dream. The only one that can take that away from you is yourself. And you, the other person can take it if you let them. But other than that, you are somebody. Always believe in your dreams, because some dreams do come true. Take a deep breath. You're welcome, honey.
The words of Gowanna Keys. And we have a dream right now, too, and that is to get this extra $400 in the last 3 minutes of Cross Currents today. There's 2 days left in the drive, so now is the time to call 800-525-9917.
Or you can go online at kalw.org. We only have 3 more minutes to meet our goal. We want to thank some people who are really pledging online. Kate Boyd from San Francisco, Peggy Kane from Florida. Thank you, Mom. Michael Braley from Lexington, Kentucky. And we have these great pledge gifts if you want to donate. We have a really fabulous lunch tray t-shirt.
It's so cool. It's just a great, great drawing. And you could wear it with pride, just like Gowanna Keys. You could show your dreams come true with your KALW lunch tray t-shirt. It's at the $75 level. And if you go online to kalw.org, then you're going to have all kinds of gifts available to you. But the main thing is to give to the station that is so much about the Bay Area, and we get an extra $400 if we could reach our goal right now. Please call 525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. Oh, and I just received something here from Diane Zagerman, who loves fresh air. We made our goal. Thank you.
Yay!